Thanks for tuning in to Great Job, the improvised comedy podcast about the world of work. Each episode, we talk to an improviser about a job they've held, and then we improvise scenes based off what they've said. The jobs are real, but everything else is totally improvised and made up on the spot. Sound effects are added afterwards. One of the sound effects you're going to hear is a whooshing noise, which sounds like this. When you hear that, it means that the scene might have jumped to a different location or the characters might have changed. And that is what the whoosh means. I'm with three great improvisers. Nick Everett.
Hello.
Yep. Chelsea Gill.
Hello.
And Katie Davison. Katie, you're going to talk about a job you've had.
Yes. I'm going to tell you about the worst job I've ever had. I worked for a faux drama school. I say faux because it was not legit in any way. It was above a betting shop, and you weren't allowed to wear shoes to work. And I, very innocently, when I got the job, first thing I did, I thought, I haven't got any smart shoes to wear to work, and totally forgot the shoe thing. Apparently, it's something about equality, how we're all... I don't know, I just think they didn't want to employ someone to mop the ground. And... You did get a piece of paper at the end, wasn't accredited by anyone, it was just, they'd take your money off you and you would learn some drama. It was mostly physical theatre, which I think, it was just a lot of rolling around. Maybe that's what the shoe thing was for, a lot of rolling around on the ground. It makes a bit more sense now. So every single person who left that company... had a breakdown.
God.
Oh. It was awful. I didn't know this, but I started there but just before Christmas, and then at Christmas I went for a walk in like Highgate Way and saw the two directors hand in hand. So I was like, oh, okay, so they're a couple. Not necessarily a problem, but it turned out it was a problem. You know, family businesses, that's a thing, right? But it's a problem when they go home and sort of like scheme together. And also like when, you know, like if your partner is acting erratic, you'll just do anything to calm them down. That was the vibe of the place. That was the vibe of the school. So the woman who was the director of training would act erratic. And then our partner would be like, right, okay, yeah, we'll just change everything to suit you. And we'll. No, we'll turn it all around. We'll get new teachers in. Yeah, we'll sack that person who has slighted you, potentially.
Hold, okay. So yep. I have so many questions. Mm-hmm. How come she couldn't fire the person that was slighting her?
Because she wasn't the, like... He was the artistic director. Right. She was the director of training, and he had final say. Right. And also, if you have an argument with someone and then you fire them...
Right.
It's really obvious that you've just fired them because you were in a bad mood.
Cool.
So yeah, it was one of those things of like project creep, a lot of like setting new goals. Oh, Katie, you've not reached these goals. Yeah, those were impossible goals though, and very much outside of my job. At one point I was the head of marketing, and at one point they wanted me to go flyer. I was like, I can't do everything. I can't do strategy and then also go down to Leicester Square with a bunch of flyers. Like, that's insane. I had to ring up kids.
And what did they say in response to that? Were they like, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, we are insane.
No, they were like, you need to maybe think about whether this is actually suiting you as a job.
Working at the Nutty Breakdown Theatre? You might lose your job here. Come on.
Please, take it away.
What was the average day in the life of...
Average day in the life. A lot of door slamming.
Oh, that checks out. That makes sense.
Yeah, lot of... at one point, my desk moved because I was like, I can't be right next to where the students come in because they keep coming in and interrupting me and I can't do anything all day. All I do is like answer the door buzzer. We didn't have a receptionist.
Right. Well, they had a marketing.
They had a right. Marketing, yeah. So she could do that. Couldn't have longer than 30-minute lunch breaks because... And you had to make sure there was someone to cover the buzzer.
Right.
For the front door.
Right.
So that they... above the betting shop. And this, day, average day in the life.
I take it all back. This is sounding like, okay, this is sounding like my kind of place.
Average day in the life. Yeah. I'd sort of answer emails. There'd be lots of emails of people. I'd have to convince people to come to the school, which meant a lot of phone calls, being like, oh, come on, man, come do it. Come on, it'll be fun.
As in, like, you're trying to sell
the school, attending the school. Okay. Yeah. But obviously it's not, it's very much a school for kids who were never, ever going to be accepted anywhere else, but still wanted to keep the dream alive.
Oh, God.
It was really
quite sad. Was that what
was
written above the door?
Yes. Yeah, it was really long line. It was quite sad because there were kids who were like working like three jobs to like pay their fees. Oh, and then they'd hound them for their fees. And I felt so uncomfortable. God. But then there was a kid who was working in like a care home overnight. And then he'd come into school, do his day, like his full day of like very physical theatre. And then he'd have to go back off to his other job. And it was just...
That is heartbreaking.
And they'd be like, mate, you're behind on your fees, though. Oh
my God. It sounds like it's got sort of budget British Scientology vibes to it.
Mm. 100%. And I think the fact I missed out on the cultiness early on is a terrible... That's a lacking in me. If I go to another job interview where they're like, we're like a family, I know now.
Yeah,
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, huge red flag.
Were there any good things about working there?
It was about a 40-minute walk from my home, which was quite nice in the morning.
Great.
Walkable commute. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And welcome to day one of Drama School Drama.
Woo!
Woo! Welcome to the real drama school. We like to underline real in our title.
Yeah, why is that actually? Because I was looking at the prospectus and everywhere it said it was real. And there were lots of symbols that said like copyright and trademarked. Yep. And it just feels like it might not be.
Jessica, we underline real in all of our merchandise because we are the real deal drama school.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Jessica, are you behind on your payments?
Oh, I was going to talk to you about that because, it's just been a little bit hard. I worked at Tesco, Sainsbury's and Lidl this week.
So only three. There are 5 days in the week, Jessica.
Yeah, I could pick up Asda, I guess.
You could pick up two more. You could pick up Asda and Morrison's.
Yeah.
Five. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'll go down to Morrison's later.
Yeah? Should we write the application now? Should we do that now? Can you get your laptop out?
Okay.
Just type away.
I didn't actually get a laptop because as a student of drama, I didn't think I'd need one.
No, well, you need a laptop and you need to sign that over to us because we might need to use it in a scene.
Oh, okay. That sounds fine. Yeah.
Great. So, you get your laptop out. Okay. You're going to sign that. Let me give you the paperwork. So, you're going to sign that over to us. Just sign that.
Okay. It says here about if something falls on me, if I trip over, if I catch an illness, I can't.
Yeah. That's called a disclaimer.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sign that. When you get your big Hollywood acting job,
you'll have to sign
one of those. A bit of practice.
I thought that you might have to have some liability, but I guess I'll have the money anyway.
Yeah.
From the big jobs.
Money for the big jobs. And then we will take 50% of that. That's in your contract.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not really fair on us to set you up for Hollywood and then not get a bit of payback. We're bleeding ourselves dry here.
Okay.
Look, we haven't even got money for a roof.
Oh, I was going to ask about that because it is quite drafty. It's really hard to do night scenes and really get your head in that space.
I'm glad you asked because we have got a fundraiser.
Woo!
Yeah. So how do you feel about doing a 24-hour fun run with a bucket around the town raising money for our new roof?
Oh.
And while you do it, you're going to self-flagellate.
Okay, I guess the self-flagellation makes sense because it is drama school.
Yeah.
But the running bit, I just... 24 hours, that's a really long time.
I'm a little confused. I thought the The money from my kidney was supposed to get the new roof.
Oh, Colin, the money from your kidney went on our projector.
I've never seen this projector. How do we know it really exists? I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Colin, you are forgiven as long as you give me your other kidney.
I can't metabolize meat anymore.
Okay, well, you just will have to act like you can. See, are you picking this up? Acting.
I'm going to act like I've got a spark of hope.
Ha, that's my boy. We're going to have a new roof. How does that sound, drama students?
Yeah.
Say it with me. Real drama.
Real drama.
Real drama.
Yes.
Real drama.
Yes.
Real drama.
I cannot pay for the work that you did. We are a humble theatre.
I built you a roof.
And the roof is spectacular. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
You just want me to take your thank you as compensation?
How about instead, in lieu of payment, we put on a show for you, because I have got some drama students who are going to make you reevaluate the value of money.
You're the one who built the roof, aren't you?
Yeah.
Get out. Get out before the show.
What?
He'll get you with the show.
What are you...
I only came in to do the accounts. Just a couple of days auditing. Now they've had me for 2 years. They got my kidney. He's married my wife.
What?
Okay. The doors are locked.
What?
The lights are blindingly bright. It is time for the show. We have our guest of honor who built the roof. Drama students, begin the chant. Ooh.
Is this a musical? I thought it was going to be cabaret. There's only one chair here. I didn't know I was going to be in a spotlight.
One chair for our one audience member. You are our audience member of honor.
I said it was fine to do installments. I didn't need a show. What happened to the guy in accounting?
The car. Colin's run away again. Don't worry. He'll be back. I've sent our best person out with the dart gun. He'll be back.
Our play begins in 1918 in England. A pauper enters the room.
Oh, blimey, it's awfully hard being a pauper in England in this year.
Shut up, kid, and get up that chimney.
Oh, God, make it stop.
Charlie, how are you doing? Thanks for coming into my office. Grab a seat.
Yep, no problem. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Happy with your performance?
I'm glad to hear it.
You've actually brought in, I think it's 1.5 million this year alone in terms of sales.
Well, I'm very pleased, but as I say, I don't want to rest on my laurels.
Well, no. The computer industry thanks you. Just to let you know that yesterday, my wife Sarah, she said that you gave her kind of a funny look. She'd had her hair done and, you know, she'd spent a lot of money on it. And I think she looked at you and you sort of looked and it wasn't so much a funny look as an absence of a compliment. So I'm going to actually write that. I'm going to actually give you a verbal warning. And this is the verbal warning.
Right. I don't believe I've been introduced to your wife formally.
And whose fault is that?
I see your point and right. I take it on board.
Good.
I would not usually feel comfortable complimenting the appearance of women who I don't know.
I mean, in my wife's case, I would like you to dispel with that preamble,
right.
And I would like you to compliment her if you want to keep your job. That's a phone call. Sorry, it's actually my wife on the phone. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. I've got him. I've got him in here now.
Okay, good.
I've got him in here now. Okay, I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
Okay.
Hi, yes. I don't think we've been introduced, but I just wanted to say that I did catch a glimpse of your new hair in the office, and
yes,
I think it is, it's very evocative.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're all big fans.
Can I speak to my husband again, please? Darling, he didn't say anything about the fact I've lost weight.
I was well aware of that, my darling wife.
I put a lot of work in.
I know.
He's didn't say anything.
He is the worst.
Kill him.
Say that again. Are you aware that my wife has lost weight?
Right.
I think you and I are going to go for a walk. We're going to go for a walk
okay.
this lunchtime, and I'm going to just tell you all the things you're doing well, and we're going to go for a walk on a high bridge. Look out at that London skyline.
That's what I'm doing as my boss instructs.
You are one hell of a computer salesperson.
Thank you. As I said earlier, just trying to, you know, get the numbers in and nose to the grindstone, indeed, shoulder to the wheel.
Well, why don't you stand up on the bridge ledge there? Go on, let me help you up there. Let me come on, hoik yourself up.
I'm hoiking as
right.
we speak.
Yes, look at that view. It's going to stand behind you. Oh, a phone call. Just enjoy the view while I answer this. Hello, darling.
Did you push him off yet?
It's my wife. She's asking about what we're going to have for supper this evening. The chicken is in the oven.
Was that yes? Is that no?
The chicken is in the oven. He's on the bridge.
Okay. Did you push him off yet?
We're in a moment. His blood will run down the River Thames. And
Take
you will
photo.
Be happy.
I don't want to be impertinent.
Why don't you just reach in there? Whoa!
Oh my God, he jumps off.
This episode's performers were Chelsea Gill, Katie Davison, Nick Everett, and myself, Freddie Sandylands. With thanks to Sessions, bring the most exciting talent in food to your neighbourhood.